Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
And that's right, Blake. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Mookie Betts
cranks him left field.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades.
I don't care how many times this team rips my heart out, I'll never stop loving the Los Angeles Dodgers. Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What's going on, Dodgers Nation? Doug McCain here, credential member of Dodgers Media. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Now, if you haven't yet, do us a huge favor and subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. We are closing in on 90K subscribers. And the second we do, we're giving away another jersey. And all you have to do to be eligible to win that jersey, it's very easy. One, subscribe to the channel. Make sure you're subscribed and comment done down below. But I also want all of your Dodgers takes. Let me know down below in the comment section, what is your reaction to the Dodgers calling up top prospect Andy Páez and what kind of impact you think he could have on this year's team? How concerned are you about the bottom of the lineup? What are your thoughts on the Dodgers' first little skid of the season? Let me know. And of course, you know, we start every single episode with the Dodgers Dugout Live poll question of the show. I asked you guys over on the X, Andy Páez will end up having a big impact on the Dodgers in 2024. And 82% of you say yes, while 18% of you say no. And I see a comment underneath said he's already contributed more than Taylor and Lux. Ouch. That's a finish him to start off the show. And of course, we're always looking for your fire takes, all of your comments about your boys in blue. And when you give a take, if it's a super chat, you're going to be automatically answered, one. And two, we're going to feature you on the screen. We're also looking for all your takes for the seventh inning stretch later in the show. I've got my super producer to my left, Mr. Antonio, looking for all your takes throughout the show. So be sure to drop those. And of course, you know how we start every episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. Let me know where you're representing Dodgers Nation from. We got Golf For Me 2 says, done. Great move calling up Andy Páez. Jonas Bass says, Padres come back and win. And now a loss to the Nationals. Got a lot of thoughts on that. We will dive into that in a couple seconds here. Michael Busch trade looks worse every day. It's from Michael Snow. Ron Jarica, sure looks bad losing Michael Busch. We'll talk about Michael Busch. You guys want to talk Michael Busch? I have some thoughts on that as well. So definitely be on the lookout for that. Elias says, what's up, D-Mac? Done. North Hollywood says, hello, Dodgers fans. I'll be there tonight. Hello Kitty night. Páez will make us prouder than a Padres parade in April. Rack 'em. If I see any fire takes, you see one of these. Yeah, hello Kitty tonight at Dodgers Stadium. You got last year's right behind me on my left. Done, and Andy Páez is about to go off. Joshua Clark over on YouTube. I Percy Cream says, we have to see Páez in the show first before we start saying he's better than Busch. Yeah, I mean, Michael Busch has just set a Chicago Cubs record. He's homered 5 straight games. That's a franchise record. And look, we talked about it a little yesterday. And yes, it absolutely stings to see Michael Busch go and have this level of success, especially when you look at the bottom of the Dodgers lineup. They've been struggling mightily. They haven't been able to get on base and provide ducks on the pond, base runners for Mookie, Otani, and Freddie, but it's still early. And look, how about this? You're not supposed to root against his success, right? He's not a Dodger. He is not coming back, right? You're not putting that toothpaste back in the tube. The deal has been done. So look, you have to feel good about him. And also, if you want to look at a silver lining, they got Zaire Hope. If you don't know Zaire Hope yet, he's one of the prospects they got in the deal. And they also got Jackson Ferris, two guys that they did not have to keep on that 40-man roster. Because when you've accumulated a lot of talent like the Dodgers have, and you developed a lot of talent like the Dodgers have, you can't keep everyone on that 40-man roster. And those two players you can develop, and that's what they're doing right now. If you talk to scouts, if you talk to people that are around those two players at the minor league level, they'll tell you they are the real deal. That those are two players that are either A, going to contribute for this team at some point, or B, are going to develop into trade chips. They're only going to help this roster. So look, Michael Bush is doing what we all thought he was going to do. Everyone knew he could rake. He raked in AAA. He's someone that has a unique ability to slug, but also sees about 4 or 5 pitches per at bat. He's got great strike zone awareness. He's got great back to ball skills, and he's doing what everyone thought he would do. Here's the thing. There just was no spot for him, right? There just was no seat at the table for him for the Dodgers. You couldn't have him at his natural position right now, which is first base, because Freddie Freeman's there. You really can't have him at second base, because with the restricted shift, did he have the requisite range to be able to play that position at an everyday level? Well, at least the organization, they didn't think so. And also, oh, there's this guy they have who wanted to play second base. What's his name? All right, his name is Mookie Betts. Marcus Lynn Betts gets what he wants. Like I told you a couple days ago, it's Ohtani's franchise, it's Mookie's team, right? So he was going to play second. Then you look at the third option. Was he going to play third base? Can he play third base? He can. He can do it adequately, but you just brought back Max Muncy. Max Muncy is having a quality year. He's an above average hitter who's done damage at the plate. The strikeout is a little too high, striking out at a little too high of a clip for me right now for Max Muncy based on his career norms. But Max Muncy is a veteran, right? You don't win with young players at the major league level in the World Series. You win with veterans, right? It's a man's league, okay? And as much as I love Michael Bush, Max Muncy is a better option at third base than Michael Bush, right? Then the one argument you could make is, could you throw him in left field? Could you throw him in that corner outfield spot? Theoretically, he could have gotten an opportunity there, and there's no doubt about it that he would have produced more than anyone they're throwing out there these days with the guys that they're doing, like Chris Taylor's not happening, and that outfield production from the corner outfield spot not named Teoscar Hernandez has been extremely underwhelming. So there is that. But let's go to our first super chat here. We got Kermit One. Andy Páez has that Kobe Bryant scowl at the plate. Dodgers need Mamba mentality. Thanks, D-Mac. What up, Kermit One? Hey, you know what? Absolutely. I mean, I think you see his swing, and that's what really stands out. We're going to talk more Andy Páez in a second, but yeah, look, a mindset, a mentality, you need to have it. You need to be extremely mentally tough to be able to succeed at this level, because let me tell you what, Michael Bush, as good as he's been, they're going to adjust to him. And that's what it comes down to. How do you adjust back when they adjust to you? And having a strong mindset is how you're able to get through those valleys. Because look, Major League Baseball, yeah, some players have tons of peaks. Most of them have more valleys than peaks, if we're being quite honest. We got Daniel M. listing from Ventura, California, the 805. Makes me think of Eric Yulo back in the day, the 805 in the house. We got the MAS boxing, $5. Dodgers gave up Victor Gonzalez, Michael Bush, who are killing it right now. I don't trust the front office at all now when it comes to trades. Really? You don't trust them when they traded for Mookie Betts? I mean, you don't trust them when they signed Ohtani and Teoscar Hernandez and traded for Tyler Glass now, who we'll talk about in a second here. You look, Victor Gonzalez is someone who he's had his moments. 2020, he found it. He had the slider working. The fastball velocity was sitting around 96, and it's good. I'm happy for the guy. Like I said, all these guys that are traded to another organization, when they have success, when the players that were dealt to that franchise work out, whether it be prospects, whether it be big league ready talent, well, guess what? Next time they see that 310 area code from LA and the 626 area code from Friedman in Pasadena, they know to pick up, because they know the Dodgers have the goods. They know that you can trust their player development and their prospects. But with Victor Gonzalez, I will say this. Let's slow down. Let's slow down a little bit. A 1.5 ERA, but a 4.06 FIP, okay? And the expected FIP is 6.20. The expected ERA, 3.75. So point of that is saying he's had some very good luck. He has a 1.58 BABIP. The league average is 300. So his batting average on balls in play is at 1.58. League average is at 300. So at some point, when the balls are put in play against Victor Gonzalez, they're going to start getting some hits. But look, like I said, and look at the strikeout rate. He's striking out 3 batters per 9 innings. Okay. Look, I'm done with seeing relievers that don't punch guys out when it matters most. Okay. You need guys who can get the punch in the postseason. That's how you win. So I am not losing sleep over Victor Gonzalez. Will Michael Bush go down as a Paul Konerko type, a Pedro Martinez type, one of those players, a Mike Piazza type, one of those guys that got away? It's very, very possible. But hey, I'm not losing sleep over Victor Gonzalez. But let's do some more comments, and we're going to dive into our three up, three down for the day. I was at Dodger Stadium yesterday for Jackie Robinson Day. First thing I want to say is the Dodgers are such a first-class organization, because Jackie Robinson Day is such a special day in Major League Baseball. And it's even more special when you're a Dodger fan at Dodger Stadium, the team that he played for. And really cool tradition that the Dodgers have started in recent years is both teams, whoever they're playing, yesterday was the Nationals, they meet at the Jackie Robinson statue, and Dave Roberts gives a little speech, the opposing manager, Dave Martinez, he gave a nice little speech, and it's just a great moment to see all those players in 42. By the way, we talked about it yesterday, you got to thank my personal friend, I'm just kidding, but Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr. is the guy behind 42. Of course, he, back in 97, when he had the 50th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier back in 1947, he called Bud Selig. He said, I wanted to reverse my number, go from 24 to 42 to commemorate Jackie. Bud Selig says, it's a good idea, but let me call Rachel Robinson, Jackie's wife, and they talked about it, and they both came to the conclusion, you know what, it's great that Griffey wants to do it, but how about every player does it? And that's why every player wears 42 on Jackie Robinson Day. And definitely wanted to see 42 for the Dodgers step up and get more hits yesterday, I will say that, and play a little better, but still, it was just a great moment. And Magic Johnson threw out the first pitch. It just a great, a special, special moment. But Noise by Noel, by the way, if you don't know Noise by Noel, he's our social media king here. Noel Sanchez, Noah Cameras, of course, a great writer for us, says, new layout looks fire. Big shout out to producer Antonio and all the work he's put in, Gary and everyone. So definitely getting a lot of compliments on that. Got Montebello in the house. We got another super chat. This is from Daniel M. Actually, we already hit that one, so let's go down a little bit. We got Hi, D-Mac from Ensenada, Baja. Pajes is a good thing happening now. If he does not work, you can look elsewhere. Victor Baños, sounds like you watched yesterday's show, right? Because yesterday's show, and we're going to dive right into that, three up, three down, and we're going to start with an up, and of course, that up is Andy Pajes. Andy Pajes has been called up. And it was first reported by, Juan Trivia. You had Fabian Ardai. It was actually first reported by Francis Romero. So Francis Romero says, breaking, the Los Angeles Dodgers are calling up Cuban outfielder Andy Pajes per sources. He is the number 94 prospect in baseball, according to MLB Pipeline. Yeah, so we're talking about a top 100 prospect who is absolutely raking at the minor league level. He's number 94 in MLB Pipeline. He's number 93 in Baseball America. And he had gotten off to a scorching start down at the minor league level. So far this season in 15 games, Pajes was slashing 371, 452, 694, 9 extra base hits. He scored 16 runs at 15 RBI. He's hit 5 home runs in his last 7 games. So you got Andy Pajes making his debut when the Nationals are going out there. They're running a string of lefties. You have Patrick Corbin, who has been pretty bad for them for a long period of time now. So it's definitely a good situation to make his debut. And just a little rewind on Pajes. Last season, he got off to a great start down in Double A. He was raking, and then he was promoted to OKC. But his first game down at OKC, he hurt his shoulder, had to have labrum surgery. So the big question heading into this season was, how quickly do you call up Andy Pajes if he continues to sustain the success and you're not getting the production that you were hoping to get out of the current corner outfielders? And what happened to start the season? One, Pajes hotter than the devil's armpit. Two, Jason Hayward gets injured. Three, the production in left field has been non-existent. Chris Taylor has gone off to the worst start of his career. You just have not gotten enough from Kike Hernandez, who looks a little lost at the plate. He's been platooning with James Altman at the moment as well. Then you got Taylor Trammell, who they brought in because Jason Hayward was injured. Well, guess what? Trammell hasn't gotten that many opportunities. Yesterday, he had a pretty strong at-bat with runners in scoring position. He ends up going down swinging, and Trammell, He's got no more options left. He's the obvious DFA in this situation for Andy Páez. And look, Jason Hayward, Dave Roberts told us yesterday, Hayward's expected to miss more time. And it just makes perfect sense. What must be done eventually should be done immediately. And I think just this is a bold move for this Dodgers organization. If you watched yesterday's show, I made the case for my guy, Miguel Vargas. You guys know how I feel about Miggy Varg. He's put together a strong start down at OKC. But the Dodgers, they opted to go with Páez. And I think it makes sense. I mean, yesterday, that was the hope. I mean, we dedicated a whole entire 20-minute segment to let's bring up Andy Páez, right? Because he's got that special hit tool, right? This is someone who...
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If everything breaks right, you're talking about a player that's a multi-time all-star. They can hit 20 to 30 home runs, but what makes him special is not that he can hit 20 to 30 home runs, it's that he can do that with a 17 to 20% strikeout rate. That's elite at the major league level. You've heard him compared to Jay Buhner of the Mariners. It's kind of got a lot of Mariners themes on this show. But Páez is ready. Páez is ready. This kid can rake. He's got the best outfield arm in the organization. And on top of that, Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez, Taylor Trammell, they've started 9 games with Jason Hayward back. 9 games. Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez, Taylor Trammell. They've got their opportunities in left field. You know what they've gone? Gone 4 for 44. 4 for 44 since Jason Hayward has gone down. All 4 of those hits coming from Kike Hernandez, who is not off to a good start himself. So, look, perfect timing going up against the Nationals. This team needs a shot in the arm. They need a spark. They need some life. Glad they turned the Páez already and brought up Andy Páez. Okay, I'll give myself a bruh for that one. I'll show myself out, guys. Sorry for that. But look, like I said, Trammell's the most likely DFA in this situation. I think the other question, too, with Trammell is where does he play defensively? He's played mostly center field. He's played mostly right field, the minor league level. And do you really want to thrust him into left field just because Teoscar Hernandez has been playing in right? Or I think what you should do is you put Páez in right and then you throw Teoscar Hernandez back in left field where he started the season when Hayward was healthy. I think that makes the most sense because, look, it's hard enough. Look, hitting major league pitching is one of, if not the most difficult thing to do in sports, right? Maybe getting into the ring with prime Mike Tyson back in the day was a little harder than that, but that's just about it. And you don't want to throw in having to establish yourself against big league pitching and saying, okay, let's adjust to the outfield position that you played the least. So I would prefer to see Páez in right versus left. I hope that's what they do. But let me know down below in the comment section, how high are you on Andy Páez? Do you think he's going to have a big impact on this team? And kind of getting back to what Victor Bañas was saying, what I said yesterday was this. This team has all the resources, right? They have the prospect capital to go out there and trade for anyone that could be available if you do want to add a piece at the trade deadline. But what if the internal option that you have in Andy Páez is better than that? And you don't have to give up those prospects, right? So giving him a runway now will allow them to fully assess his capabilities and hopefully give him an opportunity to, if he starts hot, they're going to adjust. He's going to go through a cold stretch. I mean, Freddie Freeman's slumping right now, right? Happens to the best of them. Give him an opportunity to get himself out of a slump, get himself out of a cold stretch, and then you got yourself a big league player, right? So let me know down below in the comments section. I want to hear all your takes on Andy Páez. And then we're going to share a little snippet of an interview I did with Mr. Casey Porter, the prospect guru from Dodgers Daily, where he's probably seen more Andy Páez than anyone on the planet, if we're being completely honest. And you don't want to miss his take on Páez. We got Delvey. Páez will, mark my words, be in the running for Rookie of the Year. Look, it's still early enough. It's still early enough to, if he hits anywhere close to the way he's hitting in at the big league level, then sure, why not? And that would be big time for this Dodgers organization. Jose Gonzalez, CT strike three, should be DFA'd. I see what you did right there. I don't love the CT three hate, but you know I like a burn, so we give you a finish him right there. We got Nando in the comment. Oh look, SD has fans now. Danny Cortez. Honestly, I had never met a San Diego Padre fan outside of San Diego until maybe the last, you know, couple of years. And you're starting to see them grow in masses, and they're riding that high of being the Dodgers, winning their World Series a couple years ago. Pablo Ramos, 11-7. Like, come on, we're underperforming. Yeah, 11-7 isn't good. 11-7, that works out to a 93-win pace, right? You didn't spend $1.2 billion to win 93 games, I'll tell you that much. But still, this team has dealt with some injury issues to their bullpen. You're still trying to establish a rotation as a combination of young starters. You've already lost Bobby Miller for, hopefully, it's only a couple of weeks. Emmett Sheehan has been lost for longer than it was anticipated. You're out of Brusdar, Grader, on Blake Trinan. So there's reasons, but really this is going to be the next down is, no, we'll get to that in a second. Let's use more of your Andy Pye's comments and we'll hit that snippet, the little sound. But we got Victor will figure things out from BC, the right field pavilion. Too many Dodger fans are freaking out. It's April, settle down. Yeah, I mean, they're freaking out. They're absolutely freaking out to the point where yesterday I'm like, okay, you know what? You just have to blow it all up and hope for a quick rebuild, right? That's how that's the vibe I got on the X yesterday. It's still incredibly early. And look, you don't want to be peaking in April, right? You want to save that for October. But here coming up, this is a little snippet of a interview I did with Casey Parter. This was his take on Andy Páez and how high he is and what he can do for this team, the impact he can have on this club at the big league level this year.
As far as Andy Páez, of course, he missed most of the 2023 season with that labrum tear at only 142 plate appearances. But still, this is someone, lots of power, lots of ability. He is someone else who drops some weight. You look at the home run to fly ball rates, the way they're at. I mean, he lifts the ball. He hits a lot of fly balls. But what do you like about Andy Páez, Casey?
Well, first of all, the arm, him and Jose Ramos, I would love to see a competition. Oh. Hey, just get Andy Páez and Jose Ramos. Put them in the outfield and let's let them throw together and let's see who has a better arm, right? That'd be a hell of a lot of fun, I think, because those guys, they don't have cannons. They have howitzers. I mean, Andy Páez, I've seen him throw 8 to 9 to 10 balls that you just, I mean, you're talking about dudes on a professional field that just watch them throw and go, holy smokes. That, you know, I know Cody Hosey's caught a couple and it's like, I can't believe I just saw that throw from Andy Páez right over at third base. So the arm, obviously, it's big time. You mentioned the weight loss, anywhere from 25 to 35 pounds last year. One thing that did for him, it allowed him to play center field. He is playing a lot more center field. So the Dodgers love that versatility. He's played a lot of right field, played some left field last year, played more center field. So if he keeps the weight down, he profiles at any position that you would like him to play. I think right field's probably his everyday position. But again, if you have Mookie Betts out there or whatever that may be, he has the versatility to play whatever role you want him to. You mentioned the fly balls. He had more home runs than any minor leaguer. I believe it was 2 years ago in the system. His home run for fly ball rate is north of 14, which is in the elite category, no doubt about it. And that's because with his bat angle, he's able to create lift in his swing without what I call loft, which means he's able to get a bat angle that gets the ball in the air without having to lift his hands. And because of that, his strikeout rates aren't insane. You know, guys that swing with a negative bat angle, meaning the barrel below the hands, and they lift the hands, yes, they hit the ball in the air a lot, but boy, do they have a lot of holes in their swing. So I think that's what makes Andy Páez unique, is that he's able to get the ball in the air without having to lift the hands too much.
Yeah, it feels like he can just cover all the quadrants of the zone right there, too. He's not just someone who has like tons of cold zones everywhere. He's really a complete power hitter. I see him as someone who could definitely be that corner outfielder. I mean, yeah, lots of potential, lots of talent there. Now,
so yeah, you hear right there. I mean, this is someone who has all the tools to have success at this level. I could not be more excited. I mean, hey, what is he doing his first at bat? Let's go to you, Antonio. First at bat, is he leaving the yard? Hitting a bomb?
I'm going to say it's going to be a ground rule double into dead center.
Ground rule double to dead center.
All right, no, let's go right field. Let's go right field.
To right field?
Yes, that's my prediction.
I just got a hot shot single. I got a hot shot single, finding grass. I mean, let's go to a single to right.
He's going to get a hit tonight for sure, though.
Noel, prediction. Andy Paz first at bat.
Home run.
Home run? Yeah. Leaving the yard? Okay, where?
I'll say home run to left.
Home run to left? Yeah. Homer to left? All right. We'll see. Let me know down below in the comments. Like, what is your prediction for Andy Páez's first at bat? Got a super chat over here from MAS Boxing. We don't win the World Series without a Randy Arozarena in all-in mentality like the Rams. What do you think, bro? Well, you guys know I'm all about that all-in mentality, right? And this team is all-in, right? They pushed all the chips in. They've taken off the watch, the earrings. They took the lien on the mortgage. They threw it in there, too. This team is all-in. You don't have to question that. As far as character goes, Teoscar Hernandez is a better hitter than Randy Arozarena. Teoscar Hernandez is a more skilled hitter than Randy Arozarena. He also has that fun aspect of him that he brings to the team. You see him with the sunflower seeds. You see him playing around with Shohei Ohtani and his teammates. Look, I love me some Randy Arozarena, okay? I mean, this is a player that a lot of teams would love to have. He has a couple more years of team control. He's not on the market yet. The Rays are probably open for business for just about any player, especially when you get to those later years of arbitration, which it comes faster than they really anticipate for a lot of these guys. Look at what happened with Tyler Glasnow, right? I mean, they had one more year, $25 million on their deal. They end up trading him to the Dodgers. But yeah, with Randy Arozarena, he'd be a popular Dodger. He's not on the market as of right now. If he does, and Páez does not live up to the hype, I would absolutely welcome Randy Arozarena with open arms. And I think that he would be a player that the Dodgers would be interested in. Okay. Those are natural trade partners, the Rays and the Dodgers. They've made tons of deals in the past. Arozarena is an outfielder. This organization, they need outfielders, right? They need outfielders in a major way, not just this year, but in the future. Makes you wonder though. I mean, Will Smith and Randy Arozarena on the same team. Of course, they had that little moment at the WBC. I don't know if I think my theory on that was Will Smith was just oblivious, right? You know, maybe he's not a big fist bump guy. You know, I don't think he was going to, you know, slap him like the Oscars or something like that. I don't think there was any real tension there, but still, I mean, they smooth things out. But hey, Randy Arozarena, target if he becomes available, absolutely 100%. Now, my next down for yesterday is Tyler Glasnow. Tyler Glasnow did not have his best start. He actually had his worst start as a Dodger, and he was grinding. He was grinding the entire start, and Tyler Glasnow is someone that when he's on, he takes a backseat to no one. His stuff is as good as any starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. But yesterday, it was a different story. Against the Nationals, he goes 5 innings, allowed 6 earned runs on 8 hits, allowed 2 home runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. The command just was not there. The command was not there for Tyler Glasnow. And he said it after the game. He didn't have the feel for the curveball. You saw him spiking it throughout his start. The slider, even that was his best pitch as far as the secondaries go. And that was the pitch that he gave up for a home run. So, I mean, that really is what it came down to. Luis Garcia, runners on first and second in the fifth, had him on a 3-2 count, leaves a cement mixer slider up in the zone. And Garcia, he hits it just over the wall and left. I did like the reaction from Glasnow, though. By the way, he gave a big, you know, F on the mound. He was very, very frustrated. But we did learn after the game that Glasnow was sick. Dave Roberts told us after the game that Glasnow was a little bit under the weather. He said that Glasnow wouldn't say it. If you go back and look at the footage of the game, you saw him coughing throughout the start. I was right next to him. I asked him about his fastball yesterday, and he just basically didn't look like he was at 100%. The eyes were a little glassy. He just did not look a little flush. So, look, he allowed extra base hits in each of those first 3 innings, the home run to Luis Garcia. And look, I mean, that was going to do it. I mean, he had 10 base runners. He was dealing with traffic all night. So I'm not worried about Tyler Glasnow. If you look at the history of his starts, he usually has 1 or 2 of these per year. So not overly concerned at all whatsoever. Next up, I'm going to give this to Nick Ramirez and Ricky Venasco for this much maligned Dodgers bullpen. They made their debut. Ricky Venasco makes his debut. He went 2 scoreless, 2 perfect innings, didn't allow a run. The spin rate on the 4-seam fastball was well above average. Really impressed by that. And then Ramirez, he got the job and showed some really nice stuff too. So look, those two guys, thrusted into that situation. You're never guaranteed more than a start, more than an inning with this Los Angeles Dodgers team, the way they've been using their options and they've managed their roster this season. So you get those guys, they take it full advantage of it. And how about this? You don't use any of those high leverage arms too. You still got those fresh. So that's an up. Next down I've got, and this is the first time that this man, this player, has ever had a down this season. I got to do it. Shohei Ohtani. Shohei has been the best player that I've ever seen at the plate as far as how effortless of a slugger he is and how consistent his at-bats are as far as if there's a pitch in the zone, he's looking to do damage. But so far in the season, he is 1-for-16 with runners in scoring position. He had an opportunity there in the seventh inning after an Outman leadoff single. A few batters later, Betts singled to give the Dodgers runners on first and second. Showtime at the plate. Everyone at Dodger Stadium expected. You know you're good when you don't even expect a hit. You expect a home run. Everyone in that stadium, everyone in the dugouts, say, you know what? Showtime is going to go deep. He ends up lining to center on a hard hit ball that had an expected batting average of almost 600, but that would have tied the game, and that was really the last major threat for the Dodgers in this one. And look, 1-for-60 with runners in scoring position, I'm not going to overreact to that. I will not, because Shohei, this is a relatively new phenomenon for him. He's probably at the plate saying, who are those guys in Dodgers uniforms? Why are my teammates standing over on those bags? Who are those guys? Why aren't they in the dugout? He's not used to seeing runners in scoring position. In fact, last season, the player who's at the plate the most with runners in scoring position in all of Major League Baseball, it was Smitty. It was Will Smith. Whereas Shohei Ohtani, he was at the plate with runners in scoring position less than 40% of the time. It was towards the bottom of the league. That's because the Angels don't have a lot of talent, especially at the bottom of the order. So this is nothing to worry about at all. He's still killing it. But hey, we had to just throw him on a down at least one time this season. Andy Pires, 1-for-6, or Shohei Ohtani, 1-for-16 with runners in scoring position. Now, our next up, we're doing for our next up. Let's just do a double down. Let's do a double down for this one. And our next down, and hopefully bringing up Andy Páez fixes this, but the bottom of the lineup has been awful. And I've been using the horse meme to describe this all season, right? Where the front of it is perfectly drawn. It's the back of the horse. And then by the end, it looks like a toddler drew it, right? That is the bottom of this Dodgers lineup. Eight games of, if you look at the 7th, 8th, and 9th spots in the Dodgers lineup, they are batting 166, 229, 236. They rank 29th in Major League Baseball in slugging, 29th in on-base percentage, 28th in OPS at 466. If you look at those spots in the lineup, they are the worst in essentially every category or bottom two in every category. That's how bad it's been. And you just can't have that. If you want to be an elite team, you need to have a longer lineup. You can't rely on the MV3 plus Will Smith. And look at Freddie Freeman. He's even going through a slump right now. Look at Mookie Betts. He slowed down a little bit on the road. And you just can't rely on those guys all year because that takes its toll. Yes, they're capable of it. Yes, they're talented enough to carry the load. But then the postseason rolls around and they're out of gas because they've been doing 90% of their group project the entire year. So they'll get an A for the regular season, but will they ace the final, right? Maybe not, because they don't have a lot of bandwidth left because you had to carry the load all season long. And James Altman is the one guy I will say he is. Is the one guy that has shown promise. James Altman is the only guy that you can look at some of the expected numbers and say, you know what? This is someone who's at least hitting the ball hard. His numbers should be better. Altman slashing 173, 283, 306. And you look at the expected numbers. I mean, he should be getting better results than that. But unfortunately, that isn't the case. His ex-WOBA, his expected WOBA, his expected weighted on base average is actually higher than Teoscar Hernandez. It's at 329. Teoscar is at 314. And Teoscar is slashing 275, 333, 536. So he's slugging 536. Altman 308. His on base is 333. Altman's is 283. But some of the expected numbers should say, look, Altman should be having better results. So I think Altman's going to pop pretty soon. Altman is definitely going to pop pretty soon. So be on the lookout for that. Last up, Last up for three up, three down is Landon Knack. Landon Knack is another young Dodgers prospect that's going to get his opportunity. And Knack has been extremely consistent throughout his big league, throughout his minor league career. He's been one of the kind of, look, his ceiling isn't crazy high. His ceiling is an ace. His ceiling is a number two. Maybe if everything works out, he's a number three starter, but his floor is high. He's someone that, if you look at the bust potential, I think it's very low because of how consistent he's been throughout the minor league level, the improvements that he's made, lost a lot of weight. He's gotten the best shape of his career. It's a 3.44 ERA through 243 innings at the minor league level, but he's gotten better. Last season at OKC, he posted a 2.51 ERA in 22 appearances between AA and OKC. And this year at AAA, he's taking the ball three starts, a 16-4 strikeout to walk ratio. So seven runs through 15 and two-thirds innings, not necessarily focused with the results, how many runs he's given up, more focused on some of the other peripherals that speak to, okay, he's ready to go and he's going to get an opportunity. Baseball America.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
They have him as the 11th best prospect in the Dodgers system. So, hey, he's a back of rotation type of starter. But guess what? The Dodgers, they could use a back of the rotation type of starter. And he's someone that has earned his opportunity. And I think the maturity level that he has, he's not going to come up and be a Bobby Miller, right? Don't expect that. But come up and expect solid. Expect someone who knows how to pitch. He's more of a pitcher than a thrower than any of these young pitchers I've seen come out of the system in the last couple of seasons. But let me know down below in the comment section, what are your thoughts on Landon Knack? Are you high on Landon Knack? Do you think he's someone that can contribute? But let's read those comments. We got some more super chats down below. We got Alex Renteria. And Páez will be better once he sees Freeman and Mookie's approach. He'll learn from them. Yeah, that's a great point, Alex Renteria. And I talked to James Altman about this. It's the just absorbing the greatness of these generational first ballot Hall of Fame type players, right? I mean, Freeman, first ballot, well, he's got some work to do. But Mookie, he's a guy who could be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And their approaches and their routines, their consistency is what really sticks out. And I think that Páez saw that during spring training. And I think that just being around that, being exposed to that at this level, it's definitely going to only help matters. And look, I've heard people make the case that last year, Miguel Vargas, it almost was a detriment because he had a lot of voices, right? He had a lot of voices. He had J.D. Martinez. He had Skoyak. He had all these voices kind of giving him a lot of pointers on how to hit. Look, it's the player's responsibility to kind of know what works for them. And one thing I will tell you about this Dodgers organization by talking to the players is they'll give you all the data. They'll give you every metric, every analytic, but they won't ever force it onto you. They'll never make you go out there and do this, do that, hot zones, force plates, whatever it may be. They're not going to force you to do it, but they're also going to hold you accountable and say, you know what, this is a performance-based business. We just want the results. How we're going to get them, we just want them. Now, the good thing about these players, though, is they embrace it because it's smart to embrace it, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you got to go out there and compete. Your brain's not a computer, not just like processing this stuff like it's the Matrix. When you're at the plate, you're not a robot, not the Terminator. But just knowing how to best utilize it is what really takes these guys to the next level. And James Altman has said as much. I mean, they completely broke down his swing. They told him he had a swing like a caveman. So now it's completely been rebuilt and he's having success. Now we got Chico Dopeness. I like that name. We got a fire take for the name. Chico Dopeness. Páez and Teo are going to be the best of friends. Just watch. Okay, so you got a little buddy cop movie written for Páez and Teoscar Hernandez. I'd love to see it. I like Teoscar Hernandez's vibe with everyone, man. I'm telling you, this guy's a breath of fresh air in the clubhouse, in the dugout. And look, also too, the man just rakes. The man just goes out there and rakes. And he's going to be one of those guys that he's like your favorite player's favorite player. That's what I say about Teoscar Hernandez, because yeah, he's not going to be the Otani or Mookie types, but that is a player that you put in the middle of a lineup and you surround him with talent that ends up getting the big hit in the big game, in the big moment, right? And he absolutely has that in spades. And also, my man's trying to get a bag. My man's on a business trip trying to get paid, signing that one-year deal. I mean, just imagine you're going to be a free agent and you're on the Toronto Blue Jays where you're raking with that great lineup and they trade you to the Mariners in your walk year. I mean, that's just some bad luck right there, right? You're going to the Mariners where it's the worst hitting ballpark, especially for a right-handed hitter in Teoscar Hernandez. You got Roy Estrada. What up, Roy? Always rock with us. Appreciate you. Páez will adjust. This is a star in the making. Finally. Okay. Lots of hype around Páez. So we got K-Dog. I would rather watch Páez K than see CT3 embarrass himself anymore. I've had enough. That dude has his mega slumps. That's from K-Dog. Yeah, why don't we just turn this into the seventh inning stretch at this point? Let's hit this. There we go. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think at some point you got to save Chris Taylor from himself. I mean, this is no slight to the guy. Chris Taylor has done so much for this organization. Clutch hits. He's been a core member, a foundational member of this run that the Dodgers have been on since he stepped onto the scene. I mean, 2017 hits the leadoff home run, first pitch of the World Series. But he is struggling so badly right now. He looks so lost at the plate. I mean, he's lost. I mean, he just can't find it. He's like me looking for my car at the Dodger Stadium parking lot after, you know, 10 micheladas. He looks lost at the plate, unfortunately. And I think it's not over, though. I see people out there that want to trade Chris Taylor. Really? I mean, he still has 2 more years on that contract, on that 4-year, $60 million deal. Tommy Pham just signed a minor league deal. You really think teams out there, even if the Dodgers paid down a good portion of that contract, are going to trade for Chris Taylor looking the way he does right now? Probably not, right? On the same token, like we talked about early in the show, it's a man's league, right? It's a veterans league. It's an experienced league in the postseason. I think you still have to find a way to give Chris Taylor a reset. I asked Dave Roberts the other day about Chris Taylor, and he told me that he's a core member of this team, that he's scuffling right now, that he's always been a streaky player, but that every time he's at the plate, he feels like something good is going to happen. And yes, that's just Dave being a breath of fresh air, always being a glass half full type optimist guy. And he's the ever optimist. And I appreciate that about Dave, but I think it's a little more complicated than that. I think he needs a true reset where you give him an extended period of time down to Arizona and you try to flatten out that swing just a little bit to allow himself to get more contact. I mean, he did have an RBI yesterday, right? He did have a sacrifice yesterday. So you have to give him a little bit of that, but I definitely think a reset is due and a phantom IL stint could be on the way. We got No Ortega. Are you more excited for Páez than you were for Outman? Absolutely. I would say it's probably pretty close. I think with Outman was a little different. I mean, both were essentially injury related, right? I mean, you had Gavin Lux gets injured, then Outman gets an opportunity. This year, Hayward gets injured and the lineup is scuffling, so you give him an opportunity. I'm always excited for debuts. I mean, if it's a pitcher, anyone. I mean, it's just exciting. These guys are living out their lifelong dreams, their lifelong dreams since they were little kids. A dream is going to be realized today and this week for multiple players. Yesterday was Ricky Venasco. Today it's going to be Andy Páez, possibly Landon Knack tomorrow. So absolutely, I'm excited. As far as Outman goes, the thing about Outman is you remember his debut against the Rockies. I mean, he went crazy against the Rockies in his debut, and there was a lot of hype surrounding him with that, and also the fact that Cody Bellinger had left, and you're looking, okay, who's going to be that next center fielder for the Dodgers? He had kind of already been this kind of mythic figure down at the minor league level, so there was that. But I think with Páez, I think that the ceiling is higher for him. I think with James Outman, look, last year, James Outman was a 4.4 war player, okay? Teams pay $30 million for that kind of production. Let's not forget about that. He's someone that is an above-average defender, can hit you 23 home runs, can provide pop, hits the ball hard. It's just Páez is a younger prospect that has the ability to be a special hitter. So for me, I think the way this lineup is right now, I'm a little more excited for Andy Páez, and also probably a little bit of recency bias. You know, it's a little bit of, you know, Buzz Lightyear and Woody kind of thing. Aloy Alvarez says, it's a long season. We are going to be fine. Too early to panic. Just got to get it done. Let's go, Dodgers. I'll give you a you win for that. It's actually the finish him button, but says you win. But Ray Soto, I know we suck right now, but are we bringing him up too early? Ray Soto, I think that you could make the case that it might be just a little bit too early as far as someone that probably could benefit from some more at-bats down to AAA level. But I will say, a lot of people will tell you the Pacific Coast League isn't a great league for development, right? It's not a great league for developing players. And the bottom of the lineup, I gave you the numbers. They're not kind of bad. They're statistic. I bring my facts to the fight. The facts show they are one of the worst lineups at the 7, 8, 9 spots in all of Major League Baseball. And would you bet on those guys to turn around? What I say on yesterday's show, I literally said this on yesterday's show. I said, if Chris Taylor was at the plate and Andy Páez was at the plate, who would you bet on? If it was your own money, you're taking it out of your pocket, out of your wallet, right? Who would you bet on to get a hit there? It'd be Andy Páez, right? It wouldn't be Chris Taylor, right? And if you know his history and the fact that this is someone who has been on the Dodgers' radar as far as their expectations for him because of his hitting ability, you know that it's worth the excitement. But is it too early? Look, no one's ready for the show, right? Everyone is too early, but you just never know until you go out there and those spikes hit the dirt and those spikes hit the grass and you give it a go. And I think that this team needs to see if they are going to rely on some of these internal options early, like Andy Páez, or are they going to say, you know what? Hey, we got to go out there. We got to go to market. We got to go explore somewhere else. So I actually don't think it's too early. I think that is actually perfect timing. You look at the lefties of the Nationals. You look at the series. Let's do it, right? What must be done eventually should be done immediately. Peter Pan Dam. I like that. D-backs and Padres look hungrier. Dodgers need some vibes. Just expecting to win isn't good for chemistry. That's from Peter. Look, a couple of things right there. Are they hungrier? I don't think so. I think this Dodgers team is pacing themselves. It's a marathon, not a sprint. What Mookie Betts said rings a little true. Anytime you're playing the Dodgers, good chance you're on MLB Network. Good chance you're on ESPN. Good chance that people are going to be in the stands, right? At Dodger Stadium, you're getting at least 40,000 plus. If it's a home game, you're selling out that, right? That's one of your premier games. So it's other teams' World Series. I don't think it's a lack of hunger, though. This team actually has an edge to it for the Dodgers this year. So I disagree with that. Paul says, call up Vargas too, put him at third and Muncy at second. It's an interesting idea. And you know, I'll never push back on an idea because I love your guys' ideas. And I'll give you a fire take for that one. The thing about that is that we don't know if Max Muncy has the range post-restricted shift to be able to get it done at the Keystone position. So I think they're fine where they're at right now. That's something I would explore if you're looking for depth, if you move off of Lux at some point. K-Dog, you cannot trade CT3 for a plate of rice and beans at this point. He is lost. Wow. That is just a serious burn. Lawrence Jerez, good afternoon, D-Mac. I'm glad we're giving the young guys a chance. We need a little change in the lineup. I can't wait to see Páez's first at bat. Absolutely. Alexandria, you, why are the Padres looking way better than the Dodgers? That's the question. Yeah, look, they're relevant now. Will they be relevant in October? That's my question. And I don't want to peak right now. I'm glad this is happening because you need to get through your first slump. You need to figure things out. You need to evaluate your bullpen. The Dodgers are going to be just fine. But that is going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. Keep finding a way in the chat, guys, because you can always kind of go back and forth. I'm seeing these debates. We'll be back later. I'm going to hit a post-game show. I'm going to be going to the game, giving you guys all the coverage from Andy Páez's big league debut. It's a debut day. It doesn't get any better than this. So look out for that. Also, follow us over on Instagram and the X. Follow me, Doug McCain, on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Also, if you haven't yet, subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. Also, comment done down below so you are eligible. Remember, I like this, the knick-knack paddywhack. Someone said that. You guys are firing away with the sorry to your bosses, by the way, watching this during work. I know I'm hurting productivity right now. So, yep, guys, talk to you guys later. Remember, nothing brings together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.